Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, where we encourage, where we educate, and where we empower all to the glory of God. And I am so grateful that you decided to spend this wonderful Monday with me. One we've never seen, and one will never see again. But praise God, we are in it. We are in it to win it. Amen, amen, amen. Well, those of you that are brand new to the broadcast, I am so grateful that you decided to spend this wonderful Monday with me. However you got here, whoever invited you, please tell them thank you. And if it was me, amen, I'm going to thank God, because praise God, if it hadn't been for this assignment, I wouldn't have been able to thank you or invite you. And so praise God. If somebody else invited you, like I said, please, please, please share with them that I am grateful, and that you can invite somebody else so you can be the one that I'm thanking, because you invited someone else to listen in for the very first time. But again, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in. For those of you that have been with me for the past almost 9 years, I am especially grateful for you, because praise God, those of you who know who you are, you keep me motivated, you keep me prayed up, you keep me wanting to keep encouraging, you want to keep, you empower me, because you desire for me to continue to study, to show myself approved so I can rightly divide God's word, so that I can share whatever wisdom and revelation that God gives me to be, not necessarily educating you, but it is informing you and letting you know what God is calling for us in this hour. And so I thank you for doing that for me, pressing me and encouraging me to do so. And more importantly, I thank you for being empowered to share with me, to comment, to pray, to do whatever is necessary that God leads you to do to help support me. Because praise God, many of us think because we're sharing the gospel that we don't need to be encouraged, because we do a lot of encouraging. We need encouragement. And so I thank you for keeping me focused and keeping me encouraged and keeping me built up, because Lord knows the devil is busy, 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 busy. And he busy is with those that he knows that are on fire for the Lord and that are doing things according to his call and to his purpose. And so I cannot stress enough. And maybe I'll get a little bit into the message while I'm really stressing this, because it is so important that you have people to back you up and pray for you and keep you encouraged and keep you focused when the enemy throws so many dynamites and darts and all the things that he tries to do to prevent you from hearing the gospel. And so I'm grateful for you. So I just want to make sure that you know that I really do appreciate you. Now, it would not be possible if it wasn't for Desi and Tammy Stewart and the Mega Ministry Group. Praise God. They saw something in me and they empowered me to be what they call, God called me to be, and gave me a platform to do it. And so I will always, always, always say their names and say the ministry, because if it wasn't for them and their platform that they provided for me, I don't know if I ever would have came into this vein, and not only been into this vein, definitely not been here for 9 years. And so because of them, I will always give them a major, major shout out. So now, thank you, thank you, thank you to all that are tuned in. Thank you, thank you, thank you to all that may be listening even to a recording past the broadcast, maybe 5 years from now that you're listening to this. I am grateful for every time that you give me an opportunity to share the gospel. So I always want to say thank you. Now, the biggest praise and the biggest gratitude we have to give, we all give, that is to God. And so we just take time to always start with an upbeat tone to get us in the mood, because when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And then praise God, when he says no, nobody can say yes either. Amen. Well, we thank God. And so we got to make sure that we give him the honor and the praise. And so before we go into our lesson, we always start off with prayer. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, God, for being God all by yourself. We thank you, God, for allowing us to have an intimate relationship with you and knowing that you are our Father. Father, we would be lost, 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 lost if you didn't reveal yourself to us and let us know who you are and who we are, what we mean to you. And then you just didn't stop there. You gave us all the resources that are necessary and needed just so that we could be right in right standing, not necessarily with you, but with ourselves and with other people. I mean, you just didn't leave us hanging. You gave us everything we possibly could need to be successful in this system, because you knew what we would go through. And so you provided the word. You provide revelation and knowledge so that we can understand and decipher the word. And then when we couldn't, Father, you still provide men and women, boys and girls, that you give them special assignments and insight so that they can explain the word, break it down for us so that we can have a better understanding. And for that, Father, we say thank you. And not only that, Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you that you left the Holy Spirit for us so that we can have the access to be able to tune into things that we wouldn't necessarily be able to do on our own. Because in our own self, Father, we are nothing. We are dirty rags. We can't do anything. And so we just thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for the access that you have given us through your word. Well, Father, as some of us celebrated yesterday, Father, we can't thank you enough for Jesus. We can't thank you enough for the sacrifice that he made, that was made on our behalf. You paid for our penalties for all of our sins, the ones that we've done, the ones that we're doing, amen, and the ones that we will do, not even in the future, Father, but in the next few minutes. We thank you, Father, that there is grace and that there is mercy so that we can ask you for forgiveness and know with certainty that you will. Father, without that, praise God, why would we serve anyone else? We know that you are awesome. We know that you mean everything to us. So, Father, we just thank you for being the vine and allowing us to be the branches. We thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for allowing us to know without you, we can do absolutely positively nothing. But if we remain in you and we remain in your word, we can ask whatever we wish and it will be granted. So, Father, again, I just thank you, thank you, thank you, that when we don't have anyone to turn to, when we have no other help, we know we can call on you because you said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. So thank you for being our shepherd, and thank you for governing this prayer and this lesson. We thank you, Father, for allowing me to become invisible as you become visible, and that you will shower me whatever anointment that you need. I said anointment and anointing. Amen. To do whatever you call me to do, Father, in this hour, so that I can be invisible and just be used completely by you. We love you. We honor, we adore you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen, 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 amen. I guess y'all can tell that I must be going through something, something, something. And so I'm so grateful that I know my Father. Because if I didn't, praise God, I wouldn't be able to share the message. I wouldn't be able to do what I need to do in the hour that I need to do it if I didn't have some praying sisters behind me and some brothers. But I know I have my praying sisters behind me to help me in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of craziness. But nevertheless, God has a word from on high. And so I'm so grateful that God has been able to go to seminary school. I'm grateful that God blessed me to really find a passion to want to study his word and to have a great understanding. And it was interesting. I was having a conversation with a friend this week, and we were just talking about how many times God gives us understanding and gives us direction, but many times we don't quite understand the assignment. We don't quite understand the call. And so there are ways that we can inform ourselves to make sure that we're in the right standings to do what God has called us to do. And like I said, many times he doesn't reveal all the steps. He just kind of go left. And then it's like, okay, Lord, what do I do when I go left? Just go left. And it's like, okay, how long do I go left? Just go left. And so sometimes we get weary and we get frustrated because it's like, Lord, I want to know the next step. I don't want to just keep walking. But I don't know if all of you have seen the book of Eli with Denzel Washington. And I was really interested in that movie because it gave me a special revelation. Because at one time, I really craved knowing the end because God gave me the gift of discernment. And so sometimes, most times, I can see the end of a thing before the beginning. And sometimes I get frustrated because many times I see the end and I'm frustrated why people can't understand why this is not going to result in the answers that I know God has given. And so sometimes, well, before I knew what I was actually able to do, I grew frustrated. And then when God revealed to me that that was a gift that I had, that I understood it better. And so it took some of the frustration away. I still get, you know, kind of antsy because, praise God, I want people to know like I know. But I have to be mindful. People grow at their own paces and grow at their own levels with anything. And I mean, including me in other areas. And so with that, when God gives me a passion about doing something and I don't do it, it bothers me because the Holy Spirit quickens me and stirs me up. And so I'm grateful that I have an intimate relationship with him, and that's because I study. That's because I understand his word, and he's revealed some of the mysteries. And so this week I had a small assignment. My daughter plays volleyball, and she had a tournament this weekend. And so all of the parents are responsible for, you know, doing different things or whatever. And so I didn't know exactly what to do, but the list that they gave, and I thought it was fruit. And I thought, well, okay, this is cool. So, you know, fruit is easy. But because I'm, it's my children call me and family members, they call me an overachiever. And it's not necessarily that I'm an overachiever. I just believe in if you do your best, then you can expect the best when things are done for you. And so whether I get it back or not, it doesn't matter to me. I want to do the things that I know that I feel comfortable with. And so if it's over the top for other people, amen, it's over the top. I can't apologize for that because that's what I want to do. And I don't apologize for it. I go over the top because I expect at some point, if it's not me, my children will be, I just do what I believe God calls me to do, and it's a blessing to others. So anyway, I had this idea of what I wanted to do. And so for yesterday, because it was Easter, resurrection, whatever day that you call it, I thought it would be cool to give the girls Easter baskets. And so I did the baskets. And so it was cool. And so I was expecting some gifts and different things to go in there and didn't quite get them like I expected. But nevertheless, I was able to do my. But in the middle of the night, we had to be there at 8 o'clock, which meant we had to be up and leaving and in motion by 6 o'clock. And so I couldn't sleep. And so I thought, Lord, we just got home at 11 o'clock because we didn't finish the game until late. And I'm like, Lord, why can't I sleep? And so I just was restless. And so I looked up out of my window. And I don't know, those of you that know me know I love, love, love the night because I love the moon. I love the clear skies. I love stars. But the moon was so beautiful, bright, and shining on me. And I thought, okay, Lord, this is beautiful. Thank you. That's what you want me to stay up for so that I could see the moon? And it was, no, I need for you to hear me. And I thought, hear you? What do you want? What do you mean? And it was, you have an opportunity to witness to these girls. You talking about candy and fruit and baskets and all this fun stuff. What about me? What have you shared about me to these girls? And I thought, oh, well, Lord, I can't take for granted that, you know, their parents want them to know, you know. And he said, ask them. And so I thought, oh, wow, okay. So 5 o'clock in the morning, I turn over, I get my phone, and I type. And I said, well, Lord, if you want me to type something, I got to leave in a couple minutes practically. You got to show me what you want me to write because it's a few minutes and it's a basket. Well, what am I going to do? And he said, didn't I make you buy stickers a couple months ago? And I thought, oh, yeah, I got stickers. So just type. And so I'm writing. And as I'm writing, I'm asking God, okay, what, say this, say this, say this. And it was like it just poured into me. So I thought, oh, wow, okay, Lord, this is cool. Do you think they'll get it? And it's like, it don't matter. This is what I'm telling you to write. And so as I wrote this, I sent it to the teen mom. And I said, do you think that this will be okay for me to put these on the basket? And she said, you know, before you do that, you got to make sure you talk to each of the parents because we don't want to have no confusion because we don't know if everybody believes. So in that moment, I knew that that was confirmation because it wasn't necessarily for the kids as much as it was for the parents too. And so praise God, I typed it up, I printed it, I showed it to all the parents. They were like, oh, yeah, go for it, go for it, go for it. So what will manifest from that? Have no clue. But I was obedient to the assignment that God gave me. And in the midst of me writing it, I thought about it because, of course, I didn't study for it because I had something else in mind that I wanted to study for the lesson tonight. But God was like, no, this is what I want you to do. And I don't know if those of you who were listening last week, I said, I don't necessarily get into the holiday speeches of Jesus and him being born and Easter and all that. I celebrate them and I tell people often, even though we sometimes can get so spiritually motivated and we're no earthly good because, you know, this is paganist and this is not how it was documented. We don't know if Jesus was actually crucified on the Friday and he rose on the Sunday. At the end of the day, if the world stops to celebrate Jesus, why shouldn't we take an opportunity to witness his word? And so in the little speech that I put for the children, not necessarily children, it's just for the masses, because anybody that sees that basket will read that. I don't even know if them kids will take that basket to college with them someday, and a kid in the dorm room may read it and be blessed by it. We are to do what God calls us to do, regardless of what we think or what we say. We just have to be obedient. So in the midst of me putting on the message, I put Christmas or Easter. Which holiday is most important? And so in the midst of writing that, and I'm just going to read a little bit what I asked. And so I want you to be challenged with the questions that I proposed to, I guess I shouldn't just say the children, but to the listening audience of those who might read it. I said, which holiday is most important to celebrate? Why do people celebrate either holiday? Is it because it's on the calendar? Are we likely to give gifts? And to give gifts? Or is it something much more important? What if there was no God? What if we never knew Jesus? What if he didn't love us enough to even considering sending himself through Jesus? His love for mankind was so powerful that he created a plan to eliminate the evil one and his desire to captivate and conquer our souls. What is my soul? It's your mind, your will, and emotions. Everyone has one, and God's desire for us to live with him accordingly and eternally. So why is Easter or Resurrection Sunday so important? Because Jesus had to die to conquer death in order to free our souls, to provide us with a choice to believe him or not. So why is Christmas so important? Because God had to become flesh to enter our world, live amongst us, his people, live sin-free, and become the required ultimate sacrifice to free us from the evil one and to provide us a choice to choose a life with him. Now, which holiday is most important to celebrate? I say both. You can't celebrate one without the other. He had to be born in order to die. So what's the most important thing to remember in this? It's his love and his passion for us all. We love because he first loved us. Now, when one of the parents read this, she said, Leah, you're going to make me in tears. And I thought, well, why would that make you be in tears? And then it wasn't until a few moments ago that it hit me. Because I'm so passionate about my Jesus. I'm so passionate about God and thanking him for making himself flesh to come to the earth and to even have a plan for our redemption so that we could live with him, that he thought enough to do it. And then not only that, because I love the Bible, that he had it recorded so that we could understand. And so when I was looking for a title to title this, if I had to have a title, because some people like for me to send their notifications, you know, and I have to put a title. And so it was so interesting, right before I got ready to come to do the broadcast, I saw this thing that Steve Harvey did, and he said, jump. And so I was like, wow. And then it hit me, and I thought, wow, Lord, that is super cool. That could be the title of my broadcast for tonight. And so I'm hitting Julia. I said, Julia, look what God just dropped in me just from the word jump. Jesus understood his mission for his people. So J for Jesus, U for understood, M for mission, and then P for people. Jesus understood his mission. Now, what was Steve Harvey talking about when he said jump? He said, you have to make a leap, take a leap of faith. You just got to jump into it. And then if you never jump, how will your parachute ever open? And I thought, wow. Now, in the natural, that sounds really cool. If you want to go back to school, if you want to get married, if you want to go to college, if you want to start a new job, if you want to start a new business, whatever it is that you're aiming to do, you have to jump. You have to make the necessary leap of faith to do whatever it is that God is calling you to do, or whatever you feel in your knowings to do, you got to take a leap of faith. And so if you don't, your parachute will never open. How will you ever know, even if you do fail, how will you even know, how do you know if you even can succeed if you don't make this, the necessary steps? And I have challenges sometimes with the word fail, because many times people look at that for the negative aspect of it. You have to do something and learn from your mistakes. So it's not necessarily failing. You may make some mistakes. Failing to me means never starting. And so we always got to make sure that we do what we're required to do. And so I love that in the natural. But from a spiritual standpoint, Jesus understood his mission for his people. If Jesus had not gone to the cross, we would not have an opportunity to do what God has called us to do. And that is to do our mission, what we're supposed to be doing and supposed to jump. What is that? Well, I can tell you because it's in the Bible. And these are one of the scriptures. I know my girl Elaine is listening. And so one of the scriptures that we learned, that we stressed in our discipleship classes, was one of, not necessarily my favorite scripture, but it's leading up to my favorite scriptures, because I believe in my heart, if we don't do our assignment, and whether it's we think it's working at the post office or working at the bank or working at school or wherever job professions that we've taken, that is not our real mission for life. Our real mission is found in Matthew 18:20. Our mission, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always until the end of age. Now, for many people, they believe that's the preacher's job. No, ma'am. We are all disciples. If you give your life to Christ, you are a disciple. That is your assignment. That is your mission, to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Well, I don't necessarily know how to do that. Okay, well, many of us don't know how to swim, but we take lessons. Many of us don't know how to drive, but we take lessons. Many of us don't know how to chew gum and walk, but we try it until we figure it out. Whatever you want to do, you do. And so when God has given us commandments for us to be obedient, what if he didn't want to do it? I know that some people say, well, Jesus cried and he said, did you know, take this cup from me? But many times, if you really read the Bible, not just the passion of little scriptures that are laid there, but knowing the whole mission of Jesus was an example for all of us to follow. To let us know, yeah, you're going to get tired. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to run into some challenges. Even the few moments before you go on your broadcast, amen, the enemy is going to throw fiery darts to rile you up, to cause you to be crazy. But in those moments, it's nevertheless, Lord, I have an assignment. And so I got to let that foolishness roll off the back of my neck, hairs, arms, wherever it is bothering me, and do what God has called me to do, and that is the word. And I know that he will never leave me nor forsake me, because he said in his word that he wouldn't. And so because that he wouldn't, I can stand on the word. And so you have to stand on the word. I love in Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. What does that mean? Am I responsible for going to Asia and ministering the gospel? No. I'm only responsible for ministering to the people that God calls me to, and I'm responsible for that. A girlfriend that I hadn't seen in a long time, she came to me because her daughters play volleyball too, and she was so excited. She's like, Lee, I'm watching this woman, and she's really, really cool. She's really, really deep. And so both of us have studied end times, and so we have a greater understanding of a lot of things that are not necessarily to be revealed to everybody. But, you know, when you study, I think my nephew said once before, you know, when you're ready to understand, the teacher will come. And so sometimes there are information, even I was talking about, I talked to my girlfriend this week. It was not everything is meant for everybody to understand. Just as it's not meant for all of us to understand the operations of war. We just pay attention and we follow and we do the things that we need to do. But there are some people high up in the ranks. They understand the whole layout. And so it's in those times, praise God, we just depend on certain people to do the right thing. Well, it is our responsibility to study to show ourselves approved, to rightly divide the word of God. But we have to do it in the times that the people are ready to receive it. I can't give somebody a steak if they're still on breast milk. It's just not going to work. I can pray that God will grow them to that level. But in the meantime, in between time, we have to be mindful, those of us that have meat, that we don't give it because people will choke. And so she was talking about how she was studying this woman, how deep she was. And she said, I'm going to get everybody to read about her. And immediately, not even Leah, it was like the spirit moved down my lips and said, don't do that. And she looked at me and I looked at her. I said, oh, okay, Lord, amen. It's action time. And she said, why not? And I said, because you understand what she's talking about. You can't lead people to a brook that they're not prepared to receive the water from. And so you'll be held accountable for sending people to her if she's not speaking the language that they completely understand. And she said, wow, I didn't think about it like that. I said, exactly. I said, many of us get information and then we think that we're just supposed to tell it. Many times we have to go to God. If we have not gone to God to find out exactly what he wants us to share, you could stumble somebody's growth. You could hinder somebody from really getting a real understanding of what God would have for them, especially if you know. Now, when we talk about Jesus coming to save our souls, and I don't know if I'm stepping on a ledge here for me, but it is interesting to me that we believe God is all. We believe God is the gospel, and then for some reason we believe Jesus is a separate entity, like Jesus is God's son, like he's Junior, when we don't really grasp what Jesus really represents. Jesus is God in flesh, and so when it's son of mankind, that is God, and God left part of him. He is so awesome and so amazing. He couldn't just appear. I mean, he probably could have. But we all would have burnt up because if he had to hide Moses in the cliff because it was too much glory, and we know Moses, he led a whole bunch of people. We can't even lead our own children. But he led a whole bunch of people out of captivity. And so, you know, he had to be solely in tune. And everybody knew that. Anytime Moses was in the presence of God, his countenance changed. And that was before he even asked, could he see God? They knew that he had been in the presence of God because his countenance, his beard, everything, he turned white and they could tell because they saw the Spirit of God on him. Now, for me, I often pray that, Lord, when I go to service, when I go stand before you and hear your word, I want people to see that there's an immediate change on my life. If they can't see an immediate change on your life, have you really been in the presence of God? And so I think sometimes we get so caught up thinking because just because we went to church or just because we listened to a worship service on the internet or whatever, we've done something. Change come over you. When Jesus prayed, a change came over him. Why? Because when you're in the glory of God, you have to change. And when you don't, amen, you have to ask yourself, well, if I'm really in the presence of God, God is everywhere, so we're always going to be with him. But I'm talking about when you're really seeking him and in his presence. Now, I say that, and I say that today with so much conviction because I know that I have slipped, because I have taken on this persona. And I kind of had to some degree, because when I got sick and I didn't understand, because I thought, Lord, I'm doing what I'm called to do. You know, the pastor, how could I be going through all these problems? And it was like, because you walked into some things that I didn't call you to do, and so these are consequences. But in the midst of my consequences, I got to learn something about myself. I had become a Christian mat, if you will. And so when I say a Christian mat, I thought that, you know, I had to turn the other cheek and just let people just beat me up and say whatever they wanted to say to me, do whatever they wanted to do to me. And I was doing that for the gospel. No. Jesus, he returned the tables. I mean, we have emotions for a reason to sin with them, but we can get people off our backs when they're doing stuff that's not according to the gospel. And God said not to take revenge on these people, but you can make people stand correct. And so in the midst of me trying to correct myself, amen, I went from being a square with all pointy corners. So I'm like, Lord, I want to be a circle for a little while because there's some things I didn't get to do when I was, you know, I had opportunities because I was too scared because the church that I grew up in made me believe at any moment, if I heard a horn too long, I was looking up in the sky, oh, Jesus, okay, did I repent? No, I didn't understand God's grace and his mercy. And that I'm not saying he's allowing us to sin, so please let me put that disclaimer out. But what I am saying is that we're human and we make mistakes. And praise God because he came, why we can celebrate the resurrection and why Sunday celebrating Easter is important. Not because of the eggs, not because of the bunny, not because we get new spring clothes, because we go to church. We are celebrating that God thought enough of us to share himself so that he could pay the penalty because the enemy wanted us. Matter of fact, because of Adam, he practically had most of us. And so God had to bring himself to come to earth so that he could pay, because none of us could pay for it, none of us. We stump our toe, and it's the end of the world. Nails in his side, in his feet, and thorns in his head. Are you kidding me? My daughter fell on her elbow, and she cried a river. Praise God. Amen. Yeah, okay, she was hurt. But amen. Jesus took way more than that. I'm not knocking her pain, so don't think that. But nevertheless, anything that we go through is nothing compared to what the human part of God took on our behalf so that he could get the keys back from Satan so that we can have an opportunity to do what we were called to do. So if Jesus did his mission, why are we not fulfilling what we're called to do? We have to do what God has called us to do. And so I had to learn this too, that maybe your assignment is not necessarily to convert everybody, because praise God, that's not our assignment. All we're required to do is to share the gospel. That's it. God is responsible for the watering. God is responsible for the increase. Now, he may use you to water. He may use you to help get the increase. But all you're required to do is teach your children the ways of the Lord. Those that are come in contact with you, to teach them, to show them the way. And when we fall astray, if God ain't told you to say something, then praise God, you keep your lips together. But we have gotten so caught up being this judgmental society that we're pointing fingers at people and we're judging people, and that is not our place. The Bible says, judge ye not. Now, we can observe people's fruits because the fruit is supposed to represent what the tree is. Times, you know, amen, you may have a couple of leaves, and that's for God to prune. But you should not have apples and oranges on the same tree. It just doesn't work that way. However, as I said, some of our leaves wither, some of our limbs get even weak. But that's God's job to prune. Now, if God tells you to minister to people and share the news and share the good news, then you do that. But you're not responsible for mending nobody. So we have to be mindful that we can't judge. And so when we see people doing things that are not according to what we believe or what we've been taught, me and one of my volleyball moms, or two of them, I should say, we were talking about, you know, she said she's a seven-day Adventist and she, you know, does certain things on certain days. And so my philosophy has always been, you know, we take religion too far sometimes because we should be right no matter what day of the week it is. And then we have to be mindful of the information that we're getting, where did it come from? You know, assess it. And so if God is God, then we should want to be right no matter what day of the week is. Now, I'm not judging or saying the seventh day of Adventist is right or wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying if I can be right on Sunday, I should be able to be right on Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday and Thursday, all the days of the week. I should live my life according to what God has called me to live my life according to. And I should not be judged based on the person next to me or beside me because our walks are different. the things that we're assigned to do is different. Another thing that I think, and I was saying how, you know, I'm trying to be a circle, it's not necessarily that I want to necessarily be a circle, but I want to accept other shapes because, praise God, I'm human. And so because I'm human and because I am allowing myself to see things for what they are, saints, it is no joke when people say you have cancer. None. And I think it's a wake-up call for many people because, oh, Lord, this is the end. And why we have put that, amen, because it's not in the Bible. So if it's not in the Bible, then it can't be what we're supposed to have. But nevertheless, that's the attitude that's around it. But it does give you a checkup from the neck up. The Lord, I got to get my life together. And I got to do the things that are according to the plan and the purposes of you so that I can be right before you. And so I can't get caught up now on what Sister So-and-so says about me because I didn't make a phone call at the time that she said that I should make it. I don't get tripped up about kind of stuff like that no more. And so I probably shouldn't say this, but I am going to say this because for whatever reason, I can't even remember what the term, or how the term came to me. But I said, I'm going to be a pimp. And so my daughter said, Mama, that don't sound good. You was a pastor. And I said, you know, it's probably right. I said, I used to be a pastor, but now I'm a pimp. Then I had to clean it up. She said, Mom, you got to do something. That don't sound right. And so pimp stands for preaching or praying, whichever I feel like doing at the time. Preaching, praying, pajamas. So that's my pimp. Preaching in my pajamas. And so I'm still ministering the word, but now I do it with a different mindset. Because now I'm not being the Christian man, and my eyes have been opened a little bit more to God's grace and God's mercy because bad things happen to good people. Why? Because we live in this system. And so while I'm trying to live the straight and narrow life, believing that nothing's going to happen to me because I'm living the straight and narrow, is the wrong mindset because things happen because we live in this system. Now, am I trying to do my best to live for him? Absolutely. Do I stray? Absolutely. Does he give me grace because he knows my heart and he knows my mind? As my girlfriend said, God knows my heart. Yes, he really does. He knows all of our hearts. And he wants us to live the life that's according and pleasing to him. And he allows us rooms for growth. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he shed his blood. Not for us to be judging people and holding people under these microscopes. One of the things that I think I chuckle at the most, it hurt me in the beginning because I thought, Lord, why are people ignoring me? Why can't I be invited to the birthday parties and more? And it's, oh, Leah, people respect you because you're a minister. But I ain't Jesus. What? They can drink under the sun of Jesus, but they can't drink in front of me? What does that mean? You can party and dance and twerk. I can twerk. I don't twerk as well as I probably could. I'm trying, though, y'all. But nevertheless, it has to do with my salvation. I mean, if I do it at a club or something, one of them ones that you throw dollars, that probably is not the right thing. But it is nothing wrong with me having a good time. Just because I'm a minister does not mean that I have to stand up straight, keep my shoulders back. None of us do. We are all ministers of the gospel. I read to you what Matthew 8:28-22. All of us have given our life to Christ, our disciples. So, yes, we are going to make mistakes. Yes, we're not going to do everything right. Why? Why does that not necessarily matter? Now, I'm not saying do deliberate sins, but sometimes we will sin. And because of the blood, we are covered. But we judge so many people for things that they're doing, and we forget the stuff we're doing. We got to stop doing that. We got to understand the mission. If Jesus understood the mission that he was supposed to do when he was on the planet, and he did that in his humanness, saints, he gave us, that was the example to show us that we could do things that are right. We can pray better. We can read better. We can minister to people. We could talk about the things of God. I'm not saying be a Jehovah's Witness and go from door to door or peel your bean pies on the corner. Just be kind to people. Pray for people. When you see people are stressed and in need, reach out. Those are simple things. Those are things that show the love of God to people. Tell people, you know what? I don't have a whole lot of money, so I can't buy your groceries, but I can go to the Dollar Tree and buy the people behind me and in front of me, buy their stuff and say, show me to bless you. Tell poor stuff. Put the stuff that you got to give away. We were laughing about this week, how when we give stuff to the Goodwill and things to the Salvation Army, we give stuff that got holes and missing buttons and zippers broken. Why? Why would we think that they would want that? That's not the love of God. Put that in the trash because you ain't going to wear it no more. Put it in the trash. If you want to give something that you would desire, you would want. There have been many times I bought something and I bought two of them because I know I'm going to give it away because I know I love it enough that I want to give it away. When I do stuff, when I minister to my children and the people that are coming to my contact that I can give my blessings to, I don't give them my half. And so call me overseer. I don't care about that because I know I'm giving God's best. Because a lady sowed into me years ago, and she said, Leah, whatever you do, do it unto God, whatever you do. And I get quickened so much when I'm making flowers for weddings. It's like, I don't have time, and God will convict me. Do you know that somebody could be ministered by that? Because normally you're not going to charge all the money that they normally charge in the first place. And so when they see something that beautiful, that crafty, and you didn't charge, do you know that's a witness? Now, I'm not saying to dumb your prices down. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying I do because I know that's my ministry because then I get to minister to these people and I get to tell them, you know, God did this for you. God gave me this talent and he gave me to use it, not to rob, that's me, not to necessarily rob because I could put higher prices on the stuff that I do. But why? But this is me. That's part of my ministry. That's I enjoy giving. And so you got to find your mission. What did God call you to do? Are you doing it to the best of your ability? Are you doing it to the point where you could shed blood for it if you had to? I know that I could. There was a time when I learned the scripture, a man laid down his life for his friends. Amen. I lay my life down for my children. But for a stranger, I don't think so, Lord. I don't know if I could do that. But I can now. I can now because I understand the price. I understand the price that Jesus did that for me. And so I could do that for someone else because I love God enough that I can lay my life down. I sacrifice and do stuff over and above because that's part of my sacrifice for people. I love God's people. And I don't necessarily always reap the benefits of that. And so people are like, Lee, you do all that. They don't do that for you because I'm not doing it for that reason. It should be nice to get some praise every once in a while, but I don't do that for that reason. I know that my praise comes from God. And if God gives me the praise, nobody can take that away from me. That's why I love and I open the song up every Monday night. When Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. Nobody can take that song from me. When God blessed me with that song, That's my theme. I know with certainty when God says yes, nobody can say no. And in the times when there should be a no and God says yes, I know that's him. I know that's his love that he's shining on me. And I know that each of you have testimonies and have accountants and details of your life when you know that nobody could have done that but God. And so in those times, you need to question. A girlfriend told me the other day, she said, Leah, okay, you're so busy trying to be a circle. Have you thought about the sacrifice God made for you? He allowed you to go to the cancer treatment center so they didn't have to cut your stomach up. He allowed you, sent you down this path so you could get to the cancer treatment center so that a robot could go around your stomach and cut that tumor out. Have you thought about that while you're trying to be a circle? Think about what the things that God sacrificed for you before you start thinking about you just want to go have fun and party. Now, mind you, I believe I'm going to do a little partying, but I'm not going to do as much as I want to because I do think about that. God didn't have to do all the stuff that he did for me. I do not have to be enticed and entangled so much that Satan drifts me off into a land that I don't even remember who I am. No. But I do believe that God gives us grace for us to enjoy ourselves. But you just have to do it in a way that's pleasing to God and not to cause someone else to stumble. Then I praise God. I don't know if this ministered to any of y'all. Amen. But I believe it and hoping that that it has. If Jesus knew how to jump, Jesus knew them. His mission, he understood Jesus, J, understood you, M, understood his mission, for his people. Amen. You know your mission, and you got to jump too. You got to do what God has called you to do to reach to the heights that where God has called you to jump to. Because if you never do it, how will you ever know if that parachute will open? How will you ever know that you will be successful in the things that God has called you to do? You have to jump, saints. You have to do it. If Jesus could do it in him, why? Amen. We can do all things. I love my people because they texted me and tell me, oh, amen. The enemy is bound in the name of Jesus. Absolutely. You do what God has called you to do. Amen. Let me see what is another one. amen. God, I love all y'all. Caroline, I can't figure out what you said because I can't find the message now. But amen. Thank you for your comment. I am so motivated now to do more than what God has called me to do. Why? Because I want him to be pleasing. I want him to be pleased at the things that I'm doing. I'm still going to mess up, saints. You're going to mess up. But don't beat yourself up. That's what the sacrifice was for. That's why Jesus came. And then praise God in 50 days, quote unquote, what we celebrate, Pentecost, Pente means 50, when he sent part of him to live with us, to reside in us. Amen. Him coming and dying on a cross. Jesus, God had to come through Jesus to leave a part of himself in this system so that we can use. Whew, amen. When you really get the revelation of that, that the Holy Spirit lives in you, amen. It'll make you shout. Amen. It'll make you be able to jump. It'll make you do the things that God's called you to do. Now, I could keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going because I love, love, love talking about the things of God, things that I want to make sure that you understand the most. The only way that you can come to a full understanding and to be at peace for the things that you do, at peace. At peace, when I do something wrong, I know that God's going to forgive me regardless. I don't do it being cocky. I do it because I understand the blood. I understand the sacrifice. I understand my mission, too, and I'm being about my mission and being about my business. Are you doing what God has called you to do? Are you following the mission that God called you to do? Have you started the ministry that he's called you to do? And maybe not even be a minister. Did he tell you to open a school? Did he tell you to help little children learn how to, whatever God has called you to do, are you doing it? It doesn't have to be, quote, unquote, inside the church. We have to stop being so spiritually deep and do the things that people need in this system. It's not inside the church, y'all. It's outside. It said go, not go to church. It said go to all of the world. I think we get caught up. The work is on the outside. We go to the inside to be built up and to be encouraged and to be trained. Our work is on the outside. So you got to be about your business. And if you don't know, the Bible says in John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be granted. And I can't remember where the other scripture is, but what other one says that I could go before the throne of grace and know he hears me. And because he hears me, he'll answer my get in your word. I promise you. Go to Google. Lord, help me find scriptures to find my mission. Lord, help me find my passion. Help me understand the gifts that you gave me. And I promise you, he will reveal them to you. And then he'll send you to the places to refine them, to learn, to train, to be polished in those areas. You scared to minister to people, scared to talk to people. There's classes for that online. You don't have to go out nowhere. But we have to talk to people because we have to minister. We have to witness. Again, I'm running out of time. I'm never out of talk, but I am running out of time. And so I always, always, always got to close the broadcast with my grand's favorite song because I know she's always listening. And I just wanted to share starting out the broadcast, some people really got up under my skin, and it took me so far that I couldn't even get home to do the broadcast. And because I know that God will make a way, my daughter is a student at Kennesaw State University, and so we drove to the university thinking we could get into the library, and wouldn't you know, we couldn't get in. And then when we got into the student center, I thought, okay, it's quiet enough here. The electric outlets wouldn't work. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, I got 5 minutes 5 minutes. What you want me to do? I don't know. And that's why I say, and I will always say, when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. He said, I'm going to set this up for you. You're going to be able to log on your phone, still be able to call in on your phone. I ain't never did this, y'all. Logged in on my phone, called in on my phone, sitting in my car. I could have pulled over on the side of the road. Didn't know I could do that thing. But, well, there's a will, there's a way. Now, could I probably do this tomorrow? I don't know. But I know that the Holy Spirit knows my assignment, knows my mission, and he made a way. And so you can't tell me that God isn't real. You can't. Nobody can tell me that, because I know that, and I've tried it, and I'm asking and praying that you will try him. Amen. So, again, I close the broadcast off with my granny song. Every praise belongs to him because it does. And then, praise God, I want you to remember, read Matthew 28:18-20 to understand we're all called to minister and to baptize those and send folks and lead them to God. He's responsible for all the other stuff. All you got to do is just talk about the goodness of God. That's it. And even if it's on an elementary level, that's all you know. Go to Google and figure it out. Know what to say. Learn what to say. If you don't know, text me, call me. I'll help you. Go to my Facebook page and say, Lee, I need help. Whatever it is, ask somebody. There's enough people that you could be led to know what to say and what to do. Amen. But do that. And then tune in next week for another inspiring word. This is Leah Killings on Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. Somebody just texted me, Leah, you ain't got four minutes. And they love hearing the song, so I'm going to have to be quiet and play the song. But y'all tune in again next week. Every praise belongs to him. Remember that. But most importantly, please start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day, and then end your day with prayer. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.